WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Fashion designer Isaac Mizrahi made the front page of the New York Times today, not for a new line of clothes, but for his surprising decision to shut down his business. Although he's a fashion world celebrity, sales were disappointing, and Chanel Incorporated, which had financed the company, decided to pull out after years of losses. Mizrahi became an overnight sensation when he had his first show in 1988 at the age of 25. The documentary Unzipped helped boost his popularity by showing off his work and his personality. I spoke with him last December. You were born in 1961 in Brooklyn, New York. I'd like you to describe the neighborhood where you grew up and mostly how people dressed there when you were a kid. What did the adults look like? What did the kids wear?
Okay. I come from a very, very small community, a Jewish community in Brooklyn, and one had money in that community.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of upper bourgeois, kind of upper middle class kind of a situation. It was a very, very weird mix of ethics, you know, of all kinds. We were educated in a very, very strict yeshiva. Most of the kids from this community were, I mean, in Brooklyn. Very, very strict Orthodox Jewish yeshiva. But then, you know, suddenly it was like a glamour fest at home, you know? I'm serious. For all of us, I mean, everyone in that community in Brooklyn that I come from, it's quite a glamorous, formative experience, I would say. You know, there's a lot of decor going on, a lot of important decorators decorating those little houses in Brooklyn. A lot of every designer label you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Fashionable, you know. Yarmulkes too.
Oh yeah. And I'm telling you, it's so strange. You know, at the high holidays, really the issue was not giving thanks or whatever, you know, atoning for one's sins. It was really, you know, sort of competing in this fashion.
The new fall
arena.
Look.
Oh yeah, exactly. Right. Are you kidding? And that's why when I do clothes sometimes and I'm looking at a fall collection and I'm standing in a fitting and I say, oh, that is very high holidays, because that is something that my mother is going to wear on Rosh Hashanah, or, you know, or you know, it's true. So yeah. That's my formative experience. It's like this. It was like a fashion competition. It was like a fashion Olympics, you know.
When you were 8 years old, it was, when you were 7 years old, 1968, it was the height of the hippie era. What did you think as a bud of a fashion designer? What did you think of the bell bottoms and the capes and the shawls and the peasant blouses?
Well, you know what? I was much, much more, comfortable with it once it became fashion. But as, you know, kind of the underground thing that was going on, I was really scared of it. I was really scared of drugs when I was little. I guess because my parents knocked the fear of God in me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And those are symbols of, you know, bell bottoms is sort of a symbol of drugs, you know? I can't help it. It's Janis Joplin just scared the daylights out of me when I was that age. The Rolling Stones scared the daylights out of me, you know?
How did you first become interested in women's clothes?
I don't know. You know, I often think it's because I was so chubby, you know, and I was so sort of left out of the whole thing. Not just at home, but in the whole community. I wasn't dressed up the way the other kids my age were, you know. I was dressed down because I was so fat and I couldn't fit into clothes and didn't look good in them. So, you know, I had a pair of platform shoes that would come out when I wanted to look foolish. You know what I mean? I guess because I was outcast, I was dying to gain control in some way, and this is the way I did it. You know, I sort of became this holy terror, as my mother used to refer to me. And, you know, she'd say to me, what do you think? And I'd say, oh, that's horrible, take it off. And she'd say, thank you very much, Mr. Designer. That was always my favorite line, Mr. Designer. What did I do for 25 years before you were born? You know, that kind of thing.
Did your mother ever pick out clothes for you when you were a boy that you hated?
Sure. Oh, yes. That's all she used to do. I mean, because I was so awfully fat that I couldn't really fit into clothes that I liked. And so the choice was limited to begin with. And then on top of it, she had very strong ideas of what was flattering and what wasn't. You know, I'm sure that can be really mortifying. You know, I'm sure there are a lot of people who can relate to all of this. But
So what did you wear?
I remember having this really, really good Yves Saint Laurent olive green velvet jacket that was sort of my favorite thing. And also another Yves Saint Laurent, navy blue kind of Indian peasant military like shirt jacket that was so great that I still actually have because it's just so well cut.
What did you hate that you had to wear?
Anything brown. You know, for some reason, that was always the color that they thought I looked best in, and I thought I looked lousy in it, you know. Anytime they bought me anything brown, it just kind of sat there, you know, and I'd wear it once and hate it and, you know, be all sullen and whatever it was, but...
Fashion designer Isaac Mizrahi is my guest. I would like you to describe something that you've designed in your 10 years of having your own shows that you're particularly proud of. You know, any outfit.
Okay, let's think. There's a dress in this collection that I'm extremely proud of. It's white, and it actually comes in black as well, by the way. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes it depends on the woman's attitude. Like sometimes you think, oh, a white dress, I can't wear it. Anyway, it comes in black as well. And it's this crepe, this beautiful, beautiful, very thick silk crepe that stretch. It has a little lycra in it. And it's very fitted on top. It has long fitted sleeves. And it's just the deepest V-neck in the world. And it's long, the dress. And then it's sort of like a V that goes past the belly button. But then what ends up happening is there are these two sort of laces coming out of either side of the V-neck at the bust line, which tie around the waist. It sort of just goes around the waist, and it sort of looks Grecian. And it's really a hard dress to wear. It's not a problem solver, but it makes a woman's body. The woman who can wear that dress is really, really lucky. The other thing I would say I'm really, really proud of inventing... When I first started, like maybe the third or fourth collection, I did this navy blue, I call it a prayer jacket because I don't know what else to call it. It's sort of a very loose, it's kind of a cross between a sweater and a Nehru jacket. It's kind of like a loose, and many, many people have copied it, you know. And with it, I showed that jacket with matching gabardine, what I called sack pants, which were just these giant pants that, like, you know, belted at the waist, that fit absolutely anybody at any time, anywhere, you know? So I'm just describing to you, like, the easiest thing in the world to wear. And also, like, before that, I described the hardest thing in the world to wear.
Right.
You know, so that's sort of what I think, you know what? It's like, I don't know about you, but for me, I have Gap t-shirts that I wear a lot, but I also have clothes that were made on Savile Row that cost thousands of dollars. And I don't buy a $5,000 coat every day. I buy one a year or one every 3 years, you know. But I do. I think that's what makes the Gap t-shirts look so good.
You design one-of-a-kind things, you know, couture, and you also design for department stores.
Yes.
You have a line that's carried in department stores. What's the difference between your approach to each of those lines?
Well, you know, basically, I do them in the same way. It's my hands, it's my eyes. But the difference is, you know, in one line, that's the sort of popularly priced one, I solve problems only. You know what I mean? You know, if the thing doesn't click along and make your life easier to live, then there's no point in my doing it.
When you say solve problems, what do you mean?
In other words, this sweater is going to be great for me because I can wear it from 7 in the morning till midnight, you know, and I can go from every single meeting I have to pick up the kids, come home, get the prescription, go back to dinner, and then go out to this little get-together. You know, that's the way people live today, you know. Or it's so incredibly delightful that I can't resist it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I tend to put more emphasis on the latter when I'm doing my collection, when I'm doing, you know, the expensive clothes.
Right.
I think mostly about delighting a woman, you know?
Fashion designer Isaac Mizrahi recorded last December. Yesterday, he announced that he's shutting down his business. He says he plans to concentrate on his emerging career as an actor, screenwriter, and film producer.